And you cannot, and it's impossible to picture Armenians without a church, because the church and the people have always been inseparable. Christianity and Armenians are inseparable.
Well, tell me about the years that you actually served in the church that, who did you give it to, the Pentecostals?
Right.
Right, down off Niederhaus.
Well, I only served there from 1992 to 1997.
What were your experiences there?
Well, the difference in the two churches is, first of all, there's two different buildings. That was a non-traditional, non-Armenian building. This is an Armenian architectural, built in the Armenian architectural tradition.
Mm-hmm.
That was a more neighborhood type church. People, even non-Armenians, would come in to visit me and talk to me. It was more a one-on-one. It was a more, right now, Lincoln Place is a pretty deprived area. That section of it is not what, I mean, the area is not what it used to be. Okay, it's a fairly deprived, as you can see, you've been through it.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if that's what you would call, but it looks deprived now. I mean, it's not the neighborhood it once was. I didn't live there, or I didn't grow up there, so I would be ill-informed to give you any history of that part of Granite City, because I don't know anything about Granite City historically. I know what's happened here, me being the priest here for the last 10 years. Here in our community, we've built a new church. The church has come back. We've had more people come back. And we've had like a revival, not a revival, but we've rejuvenated. Okay? And that's thanks to the people who worked so hard to maintain this place. I mean, let's face it, without them, you can be the best priest in the world, but without the people behind you, without their devotion and dedication and their generosity, you wouldn't have much of anything. I mean, as I told you previously, and I alluded to in the beginning of the tape, what they've accomplished here, I mean, for this group of people that survived so long as a little community, isolated from the rest of the country. I mean, the next Armenian community is 5 hours away from here. So this has kind of been their little piece of Armenia in southern Illinois.
So the same people that go to this church may have lived in Lincoln Place.
Absolutely.
And actually lived all around.
Most of them that come here lived in Lincoln. They all grew up in Lincoln Place.
And so this remains the focal point of their own heritage here
right,
in southern Illinois.
Right.
It and just, the church hasn't moved. The building has changed.
The building has changed. And when I was in Lincoln Place, it felt more neighborly because the location was different. I was right in the middle of an enclave there of people. You know, there were neighbors and they'd say, "Good morning, Father." And there was just that one-on-one.
Right.
People would visit. I would take my son, he was just a little kid then. And he'd go across the street and play on the bicycles with his friends across the street. There isn't a time we don't go through Lincoln Place that he'll say, "Dad, can you go by the church again?" Because he, as a child, he was taken in by that. He was a little kid riding his bike around the church, you know. I'd take the bike and put it back in the car and bring it home. Or he'd go across the street. He made friends very easily. Went across the street and played with his friends. Everybody's moved away now. You know, people. I would leave the door open in the front of the church in the good weather. People would come in and say, "Good morning, how are you?" People, you know, off-street people would come in and ask for money, and we'd help them the best we could. You know, we collect food. We collect food for places like Phoenix House and places like that that need it. You know, we send quite a substantial amount of money to the orphan kids in Armenia who don't have anybody. You know, so with what little resources we have, we try to do what's best as a Christian church to help those around us. And we thought by giving the church to another church, we could give back something that God gave us by giving us all these beautiful people and this community and the church and the community center and the whole bit. Lincoln Place, as I see it now, is a pretty run-down area. It doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. Granite City's an old place, let's face it, okay? Just like any other old city or steel town or whatever, it's got its good sections and bad sections. Even the best cities in the U.S. have good sections and bad sections. So it doesn't mean it's a bad place or anything. But I was only there 5 years, and I kind of felt more connected at that building because of the neighborhood. I mean, I love this, but this doesn't have the people power that the other church had as far as people, you know, stopping in, you know, we're off the main highway here. You can see the church for miles, all right? You couldn't see that church. It was just secluded in between homes and stuff, but there was more of a neighborly taste to it. There was more of a neighborly connection to it, you know. And there were people on the other side. They'd come and visit and talk and have a cup of coffee. And, you know, it was a real small church. It was half this. We only held 80 or 90 people. We only had like 10 pews in it. But there was something about that old church that mesmerized you, that grabbed you, that connected you. And the point I'm trying to make is bigger isn't necessarily always better. In this case, I love this building. Of course, it was built during my tenure as pastor, so I feel more connected to it. And every time I go by it, I get goosebumps thinking, you know, we have the most beautiful building here in Granite City. It's the most beautiful building in this town. I mean, there ain't no question about it. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But, I felt more... The only difference is it's more neighborhood-oriented there because I was surrounded by everyday people. Poor people, working people, people who had people who didn't have, people who had grown up there that didn't want to move. So you had a combination of all... You had a collage of different people, so to speak, quote-unquote, living around the area. And then slowly but surely, I could see that the neighborhood was starting to empty out and people would go. And it started to get bad as far as other things happening in the community. People were afraid to go out at night because of some of the kids and stuff like that. But that was the only difference. I mean, this is beautiful.
So you have their sons and daughters coming here?
And a lot of them don't live here anymore. They live in Edwardsville, Glen Carbon.
But they still come back here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Edwardsville, Glen Carbon, Collinsville, Belleville, Fairview Heights, on the Missouri side, Manchester, South County, West County. We're spread out. I mean, this is a spread out parish.
Yeah, Mr. Beatty lives off Tesson Ferry.
Yeah. This parish is way spread out. Spread way up. Okay? And it's as far as ministering to it, it's difficult as well. Because when you go somewhere, you're going to drive at least 40 minutes to get there. You're talking 80 miles worth of driving to go make a visitation. Whereas here in Granite, if I go to visit somebody, it takes me 5 minutes to get there. 5-6 minutes, if that. But if I've got to go out to the county, you're talking 40 miles each way. I mean, I have hospitals like St. John's Mercy and St. Luke's. St. Luke's is 38 miles each way. You're talking 80 miles to go back and forth to the hospital, which could take you all day. Driving, going, sitting, coming back, driving back, going back. I mean, and if you have to do that more than once, it's a lot of traveling. But here in town, everybody is within 5 minutes of each other. You know, you get there, you'll be there in a minute. Somebody's dying, you have to be there, of course. You're a priest. That's what you're called to do. I don't know how anybody can say to somebody, well, you have to wait. And I've heard of horror stories of priests telling people, you have to wait till I get there. Well, wait a minute. You don't have that luxury. If you've been called to serve Jesus Christ, and that's one of your sacrifices, you go out and you help people and you comfort people like Christ comforted the people. That's what you're called to do. And you can do that easier here because it's everybody's 5 minutes. But if I got to go to the county, it's a 40-minute ride. And in some cases, I've been to Columbia, Missouri. It's 150 miles each way, 138, 148 miles each way. So yeah, you have that good thing about the convenience of having everybody within the town. And when there were more Armenians here, it was much easier. But now everybody's become more upwardly mobile. Again, a result of better jobs, careers, both people are working now, whereas it was unheard of. Where one person was the breadwinner and brought all the money in, you can't do that anymore. If husband and wife don't work in most cases today, because everything is so sky high, homes, cars, and then of course we're never satisfied. Okay, we have to have more and more and more. So people have become upwardly mobile, and as they get more and more affluent, they move away from the traditional enclaves where their parents and grandparents grew up, and they go out to places like Edwardsville, Collinsville, Glen Carbon, South County, West County, Fairview Heights, you know, Allerton, whatever. I mean, not Allerton, but other places, you know, St. Louis, West County, South County, North County, Manchester, town and country. You know, they all go to these big, lush, you know, because they figure they've got the ability to do it. Why not? They want to give their children a better life than what they had, which is understandable. So you have the affluent factor also. People become more affluent and they move away from the traditional enclaves and they go other places.
And they come back on Sunday.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do.
Is there anything that you want to comment on that I haven't asked you about?
No, I just want to stress to you the importance that the church has played, not just today, but throughout the 17 centuries that she's been in existence. Okay? I mean, she's been in existence since 33 A.D. She's been preaching the truth since 33 A.D. But as an official Christian entity, I wanted to stress to you that the Armenians have always possessed an affinity to their church, to their faith. They've clung to it because that's what's kept them not only Christian and following Christ, but it's also been our salvation as far as our language, our literature, our writings, our schools, our education, and our nation. The church and the people have been interlocked. If you go to Armenia, I just got back from Armenia in August. If you go to Armenia, you'll see hundreds of thousands of stone crosses all over the countryside. We have one city in Armenia, it's called Ani. It has 1,001 churches in it. Literally, physically, 1,001 churches. And it has stone crosses all over the lands, all over the landscape. Ancient, some hundreds of years old, some thousands of years old. People would be good. And the artisans would carve the stones anywhere they could find a stone or a place to pronounce their faith in Jesus Christ, to exceedingly show their joy and their commitment to the Christian faith. All over that cathedral you'll see ancient Armenian writings and manuscripts and pictures. I mean, they all tell a story. You go to Jerusalem, you see the beauty and the magnificence of the Armenian cathedral, of what the people sacrifice to imbue their cathedrals and their churches with beautiful ceramics and altars and marble and everything else, because that follows what Paul said, we must give our best back to God. And we took that literally. Just like we took turn the other cheek and pray for your enemies by taking the massacres and the persecutions that we did over the centuries. We took everything that Christ preached to us literally. I wanted to stress that when I was talking, and then I had that thought in the back of my mind. But if you go to Armenia, you'll see them all over the place. You'll see ancient monasteries, some that are 1,000+ years old, maybe 700-800 years old. I went to a lot of them. I went to the Monastery of the Psalms, 900 years old. I went to the cathedral. I went to the Monastery of Kevart. It's carved out of the side of a mountain. The monks carved it there so they have a fortress. There's water in there that people drink when they're sick or they're ailing, they drink that water. There's the pit where St. Gregory the Illuminator went down and stayed for 14 years. He was eaten by worms and bugs and rodents. But after 14 years, he came out of the pit unscathed. And he turned the entire Armenian nation into Christianity. Those monasteries are still standing today. Why? Because of human hands? Because of one thing. Jesus Christ. Because of faith in Jesus Christ. The faith in the things unseen. Nobody knows. I know. And you know. That those monasteries are still standing. And those churches and those stone crosses are still standing. Because of one thing. His name is Jesus Christ. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. As Paul said, let all proclaim to the glory of the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.